and it never caused me to like R-O-F-L.
What about L-M-A-O?
Did you L-O-L?
Yeah, it was like a little L-S-L, like laugh silently laugh. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 112. Man, I may have asked this before, but I do not recall. What was your favorite animated television show growing up?
Ninja Turtles.
Whoa, that was fast.
I was.
I think we've had this question like three times.
That's fine. This is a fourth.
And I've probably given you a different answer every time.
No, me too. I for sure have, because I forget about shows and remember them at weird times. So yours is for sure Ninja Turtles, Kenny?
At least when it was like at its peak, it was certainly my favorite. I went harder at Ninja Turtles as a kid than I went at a lot of things, and that included the show. But it's sort of phases of childhood. Like later on, there were other shows that were better. Like I love Doug. I love any number of other things. But Ninja Turtles were big.
Ninja Turtles was a good one.
I never got into it. I was weird.
Nolan, I think that we may have had this question, but I think we've also had like close questions. Like, what was your favorite Nickelodeon show?
Yeah.
We've done that and a few others. So can you recall one of your favorite animated TV shows?
Yeah, I think it's Rocko's Modern Life still.
So good. I can remember the whole theme song intro.
Yeah, it's a great, really silly, but really witty show.
It's kind of mature, though, isn't it? Like, compared to some of the
a lot of those Nickelodeon shows were. Like, I think intentionally. And at the time, you're a kid, and so you don't really catch it. But it was a great show.
So I'm going to say mine, and I imagine, Nolan, that you have some kind of connection to it as well. But Batman the Animated Series?
So good. Like, as an adult, so good.
I think it's one of the greatest. Like, one of the greatest. Super good.
I think they added it to Netflix recently.
Are you serious?
Before it wasn't.
And watch through every single one of those.
Right. Exactly. That's a great show.
Some of those early, like, superhero ones, that X-Men animated series is one of the best X-Men products, too.
Love X-Men. That was my favorite era of X-Men stuff.
Well, our retro game of the week just so happens to come from the longest running American animated series of all time. It's still going on today, unfortunately, for many hardcore fans. And it is The Simpsons. So if you're a fan, you're going to love this episode and you're going to love this retro game of the week.
Yeah.
Maybe. Join us as we talk about The Simpsons, Bart versus the Juggernauts.
Overview.
Bart versus the Juggernauts is a 2D action video game. Now, I saw some saying that it's a platformer. It's not a platformer.
No, not in the slightest.
No, it's not.
No, not at all. It came out in 1992 for the Game Boy. It's one of our few handheld games that we have played as a part of this show. It was developed by Imagineering and published by Acclaim. And it stars Bart from The Simpsons in a game show based on American Gladiator.
When I found
that out last week, when we randomly selected our retro game of the week and found out that it was a mixture of The Simpsons and American Gladiators, I would have never expected there to be a video game of such.
No.
I feel like somebody just got you a thesaurus or something. Those pretty quality.
Thank you. Again, you're focused on the thing that is unimportant.
Oh, no, it was important. I got hyped about it, too. As much as I loved Ninja Turtles, when American Gladiator was in its prime, like on TV and going big, I loved that show. I was a bigger American Gladiator fan than probably a lot of people are American Ninja Warrior today. And it's equally like cultural phenomenon. I loved that show.
Didn't they bring back American Gladiator?
Oh, they tried, and it was terrible.
But let's not. Right?
Really? I didn't see it. Is it awful?
I tried. It's not awful, but it doesn't capture the same thing that it captured back then.
I can see that because it was a very special show.
Like Kenny, like Turbo, Thunder, Storm, Laser.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me about those guys?
Yep.
They would be, if you don't know American Gladiators, by the way, because we have people that watch us from, or that listen to us, I guess, from all over. And so you might not know about American Gladiators. So we've got to take just a moment. It was the show where these fit contestants would come on, but they would face these, I don't think you can necessarily call them fit. They're just these roided out, and they may have been natural, but like muscles just bulging everywhere type of like Herculean Greek gods and goddesses.
Yeah, it was sort of like you're normally in good enough shape to feel like you could win a competition.
Right.
Joe Schmo. Like these weren't like athletes or anything competing against like the ideal mega athlete. And they even gave them like mega athlete kind of names. And it was, and it was a, just a series of different competitions they'd have to do. Some like obstacle courses as sort of the finale. And then they'd also have to
the sparring
with them doing
thing.
Different things. Yeah, you'd have them knocking each other off of items, some variations on football, swinging
what about
the ropes,
one
all
where,
kinds of stuff.
What about, it was one of the final ones where it was like a, it wasn't an obstacle course, but you had to run from the back to the front and you had these dividers and stuff, barricades that you can hide behind.
Where they were shooting stuff at you?
As they would shoot like Nerf bullets at you or something.
I love that one.
Just a brilliant show that they invested so much money in and had a lot of interest and fame.
It was great.
And then whether or not you're from America, you know what The Simpsons is. It's like I said, it's the longest running American animated television series of all time.
How many seasons is that?
20 maybe?
It's got to be past 20, right?
Yeah, I know crazy. That they've been going for a long, long time, and they had a huge audience back in the day. It's still a big audience today, but I know a lot of people that are hardcore Simpsons fans that says it's just not the same humor anymore.
It has to be over 25. Because this game came out in 92, I believe. Do I have that
quick
right?
Math.
And it's 2017.
It is.
So it's been 25 years since this game based on the show. And I don't believe this was the first Simpsons game. And I think the show had been running for a little while before then. So
they're on season 29.
Yeah, and like you're for sure past that. They're almost 29. To 30.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Well, so Bart is apparently on a TV show where he has to take on various obstacle courses as he faces off against these juggernauts, which are the replacement of these American gladiators. You're only given a few challenges at a time in which you must perform well enough to make a certain amount of cash or points to pass on to the next set of stages. So as you start the game, you're only given two stages in which you must out of that get a certain amount of money to be able to then get the next three stages, and you've got to get a certain amount of money there to go on to the next. There's a total of seven challenges in the entire game, and it's just you as Bart trying to complete these stages, beat these juggernauts, collect the money, and then win the television show.
It's just a bunch of mini games, right?
It's hard to call it mini games.
Yeah, that's a better description in my mind.
But it is the game. So
The game is mini games.
There's actually a mini game in between the mini games.
What is that?
The dropping the weights.
The weights is kind of the breakup. What do you call a mini game?
It's a weird game.
A tiny game?
It's a macro. It's a bunch of macro games. Yeah. No, it's super bad. but that is what The Simpsons, Bart versus the Juggernauts, is supposed to be.
Gameplay.
So it's kind of hard to describe how this game plays because of the nature of what we just said, that it really is a series of mini games, and each of those games functions differently. And so though we can describe sort of the plot and the way they go about doing, you know, Bart and these juggernauts, we really almost have to talk about this as seven different small games within one Game Boy game. It's almost like a little, I don't know, anthology of like time killers, because you're just playing these different games. Some of them more than once as you go through a lot of them more than once as you go through week to week to week. And so why don't we talk about a few of those games, or do we want to briefly describe each of them? I think that's probably worthwhile. We can't go way in depth, but what were some that stood out to you?
That's fair. The first two, the basketball one, where you're jumping on this like floor. It's like a tiled floor and you have to hop to each tile, but you can step on one that electrocutes you. So like the balls are at one end of the court and then the...
Yeah, it's basically an electrified, randomized chess or checkers board that you have to navigate through and also avoid some enemies that are also navigating through it in order to shoot a basketball into a hoop or dunk a basketball and score points. I mean, dunk if you're doing it right.
Yeah. And then the second of the first two is a skateboarding ramp in which you, as Bart, are on your famous skateboard and you're dodging either pizza slices or hands that are coming up through the ground or grates as you go across the ramp while boosting up your speed. And then you launch off the end of the ramp and there's a juggernaut on a platform holding a shield in one of three locations on his body. And then you have to try to maneuver Bart through the air and drop kick this juggernaut in the unprotected area, thus knocking him off the platform and gaining dominance on that platform.
And asserting dominance.
Those are the two first stages. And out of that, you have to get $10,000 or 10,000 points. And so those two stages, you're going to play over and over and over again, especially if you do not have save states, because those two stages in and of itself, the skateboard not so much, but the basketball, in my opinion, so much, are so difficult, and especially to get that high of a number that even if you perform exceptionally well, you're just going to be just north of that 10,000 point level. You're going to be playing these two stages a whole lot.
You described that perfectly.
Like, they don't give you a lot of wiggle room there. They don't.
That's way too high of a number for the first week of games.
Way too high.
It's broken up into weeks, and like to progress, you have to hit that number, which was so hard for me. So hard.
With and here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're playing a game like this, you don't have save states, you don't have saves, and you don't have even a password feature. So you're playing all the game in one sitting. The nice thing with the first two stages is that you're going to be able to practice those over and over again. So you will progressively get better. But then the time that you eventually learn those two and you move on to your next three, unless you're extremely lucky, you're not going to pass those the first time. So then you're back to square one because you have to play those first two stages again and beat that point level to finally get to those three. So you're not even able to practice those three at the rate you were able to practice the first two. And it just compounds very, very quickly becomes so frustrating.
It feels worse in this game because of the way it's a mini game. There's a lot of platformers that if you're playing today and you don't do save states or whatever, it's going to be the same. You're going to see your early levels a lot more than your later levels because you're going to have to repeat them and everything else. And so I think it's a little unfair to point that out as like a huge criticism, but the reality is you're going to have to learn to do those well, or you're going to be spending an exorbitant amount of time just on those two levels.
Well, it's like they hid the rest of the game from you. And you have to just painstakingly grind through these two that you end up hating within the first couple
and
hours.
Because you go back and in later weeks, like replay all of these games, to me, it would have been so much more fun if they had just had all seven games unlocked and, you know, you just play through them in any order you want and you have to get such a high score to actually get this prize or whatever. There could have been ways to still give you replay ability and get you through these without forcing you to redo certain ones without any choice. I don't know. It just felt kind of arbitrary.
An easy solution, in my opinion, is just bringing that point quotient down. You're given a game so that you can try to play the fullness of that game and eventually beat that game. Now, given enough time, you're going to be able to do that with this game. But if you were to bring that point quotient down or give you more so that you're actually being able to meet that, narrow the gap in whichever way you see fit, then you're going to be able to play more of the game. But I guarantee you that the majority of our time spent this week, unless we're relying heavily on save states, is going to be those first two stages. I know that I did a first play, put it up on our YouTube channel, and all you see of me is playing those first two stages. And I even cut out a large portion, probably played it for the first play about 30 to 45 minutes and couldn't beat those first two stages. And that's completely frustrating and doesn't make for that good of a first play either.
No, it really does need to start easier. And I'd be okay with it ramping in difficulty and getting up to where you have to play almost ideally at the last levels to be able to beat it. But I think as a barrier to get into the rest of the game, you're right, that bar is a little bit too high. I had the benefit of watching you play your first play, and going, I don't want to do this. And so I went and like looked up some guides on how to be better at the game than you were. And that helped tremendously, especially for the basketball level. There's kind of routes that are more consistently able to be used, and, you know, just nothing super advanced, but some thoughts out there that people have figured out that really helped me to avoid some of the frustration that you ended up facing on at least just these two levels.
Well, you eventually do get past them, maybe. And let's talk about some of the other mini games that you play. So there's one that's just a straight ripoff from American Gladiators with the Q-tips that you...
Yeah, you and the Juggernaut are standing on individual platforms. You, instead of over like water or cushions,
yeah,
you're over...
It's like you're, poison?
Yeah, it's nuclear waste is
nuclear
what it is.
Nuclear waste.
Yeah, and it's not a straight ripoff of American Gladiators. It's Simpsons version because you're in the nuclear power plant and you're knocking them into this nuclear waste.
Sure. And then you've got another one where you're on this big mat and you're pretty much trying to headbutt this girl Juggernaut off of the mat, which I was able to do successfully two times in a row. And going for my third and final one, she just moves out of the way. So I headbutt myself right off the mat.
Oh, that's the worst way to go.
Dang, she didn't do that to me. I found that one to be one of the easier challenges in the game.
One of the easier challenges. And so for me, slightly fun one.
So there's a couple others I can think of. There's the hitting the hammer where the thing shoots up.
It's sort of
carnival style, like feat of strength where you're trying to hit the bell and shoot the little thing up, but you have to do that a little bit strategically. You have enemies coming down, and as you hit something kind of into their butts, it moves them back up the poles, and you want to keep them in the air the entire time. And then there's and this is why I think you might be able to call it a platforming stage.
What,
the there's
the
one set in the Quickie Mart where you're avoiding dogs and obstacles and having to get to the end. And in Simpsons style, it's a little bit racist with Apu, and it's not a great platformer either, but it's sort of a platforming stage. And what are we forgetting?
Those are your major ones. I mean, you're not going to have to worry about most of those because you're not going to get to them.
Yeah, that's true.
There's
the like dodge one, the minefield one where they're throwing water balloons.
It's obstacle course.
An obstacle course style one.
I don't think I played that
one. And then the mini game that you talked about earlier where you're dropping the weights. But I think that's all of them.
So I think it was fair in what Kenny said is that each of these are really kind of their individual game. And I found that some of them, the handling and the setup and the mechanic of that individual game worked decent. And then I found where others were just horrendous in that. And the design of the mini game was horrendous. So it was hit or miss. So the basketball one, let me just address that one because that's the one that was the most frustrating for me. I actually enjoyed the idea of it. I liked that you could have your simple jump or your skip one space jump, although that wasn't explained in the game at all.
No, all of this you have to kind of figure out. It just sort of tells you, hey, do this. Sometimes there's even moves you can do that it doesn't tell you how to perform. And unless you read up on it or stumble across them, you've got no idea.
Well, did you find the secret skateboard that's behind the Juggernaut in the skateboarding stage?
No. What? The one on the platform that you have
you
to
jump over
if you
him
shoot over the Juggernaut?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I misread the jump several times. That took me several times. But what does that do? It just started me over.
It gives you a faster skateboard and bonus points, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So there's those kind of secret and tricks. And that thing, it mentions one of the characters before mentions about a secret skateboard. So you know that that's there. But it doesn't, but then it, so it tells you those quirky things, but it doesn't tell you actually how to maneuver.
How to do them. Yeah. On the shove the other person off the level that you can do a thing where you make them do this like giant backflip that like stuns them. That's the one it talks about beforehand. It's like, look for how to do a backflip.
Right.
You're not doing a backflip though. And it's a really hard thing to pull off. Like you have to like duck down below them and wait till they almost hit you and then like throw from underneath. I don't know. It was just lots of some of that like fun complexity, but it doesn't tell you how.
Yeah. So with the basketball game, I enjoy the premise. But then it throws in the mechanic of these changing electric floors that flicker but then change, and I'm sure that there is some kind of rotation between two or three different kind of setups. But without taking the time to do that, you're going to be jumping on what was a safe tile when you start the jump, and when you land, it's going to be an unsafe tile, which electrocutes you and puts you back at the... And it's that kind of thing annoying. That just frustrated me to no end.
It shows you, you know, like in theory, it does the things it needs to for you to know that it was there. Practically, though, it was a more annoying mechanic than I want to admit.
And I feel like that game might work on a future console, like a, I don't know, not the Game Boy. I think what they were going for there was really hindered by what they could pull off graphically to like indicate stuff to you on the Game Boy, or, you know, maybe it was just bad design, but I feel like the Game Boy limited that one a lot, just being on that console. But the other games, they functioned pretty well, I thought. I mean, they weren't all fun, and some of them were way too hard, but I thought, like, you know, the controls weren't, like, frustratingly difficult to get used to or something. And for the most part, you're just going left or right or, you know, dropping weights.
Now, one of the most iconic things about the Simpsons series is its humor. And because this isn't like a story-driven game, you don't get tons of that. But within the little cutscenes before and after your competitions, there is a few instances in which a little bit of humor is written in, a little bit of Simpsons humor is written in. And it never caused me to like R-O-F-L, you know?
What about L-M-A-O?
Did you L-O-L?
I didn't LOL, but I
grinned a little.
Did you do one of these?
Yeah, it was like a little LSL, like laugh silently, laugh.
Yeah,
and it wasn't something that just you know.
I know.
It wasn't one of those, but it was something that I feel like did well with tying back to Simpsons humor, in which I'm not watching Simpsons humor and rolling on the ground, but I am watching and being like, that was smart, and some
good.
Of that is there.
Yeah.
Aged. So we talked a little bit about how this plays with all the different mini games. Let's talk about some of those other elements and take a look at what made this game unique as a Game Boy game and how it plays today.
I really did feel some of the Simpsons humor. Like it, in that dialogue at the beginning with Kent Brockman and Marvin Monroe, the hosts of the game show that Bart is on, their quips back and forth really did feel like Simpsons writing, and I did laugh at a couple of them, and that's usually something that gets on my nerves on video games based off of shows or movies where they try to like incorporate the essence of the show into the gameplay. But I actually thought the effort was there and it connected on some of them. They didn't like go over the top with all of it. It was just subtly in there, and that surprised me for being a Game Boy game and this old and based on a show.
I agree. I think the Simpson-y elements of this show were good. Some of the humor felt authentic. Some of the banter, the characters felt like the characters that they're supposed to be. A couple of the visuals didn't translate real well, but that's more limitations of Game Boy. And for as limiting as that is, I feel like they did pretty good approximations. And so even that, I thought they did as good as they were able to. Again, music on the Game Boy is just notoriously bad because of hardware limitations, but for what they had, I feel like they riffed on the Simpsons motifs well, mm-hmm. and that kind of element of it was good. And so Game Boy is hard. It's hard to sell a game of this format anyways, just because it's, you know, these just random mini games and there's no real cohesiveness. But I thought for the most part, all of the dressing, they did a really good job with the Simpsons-y stuff. I was really, really bothered, and this, again, is not something they can get around, but I hate when you have the little verbal captions and then you have huge words,
yeah.
and they're breaking them up with hyphens but in awkward places, or not like doing hard line breaks and then putting whole words together. There's ways that they could have made that way less awkward. It's like someone wrote the script for the game, and then someone who was making it just threw it in the easiest way possible, and that really bothered
me. Yeah, I felt the same way. I was like, all they did was just copy and paste the dialogue someone wrote into the code.
Right, yeah, there was no aesthetic design on the words at all.
Kenny, you talked about a few things, but then you went on and on. The music, the music that you had mentioned, I was surprised in that. So we played other games that are from television shows or movies that weren't even able to use the music from that's so iconic from those shows or movies, you know?
Yeah.
But with this one, I heard some of the Simpsons themes and trends there that still made it feel like, okay, they tried with this. They attempted with this. Now, with the Game Boy, just with what the Game Boy is limited in, it still kind of hurts a little bit, and grows repetitive in some of these mini games, especially when you play them as many times as I did the first two. But at least it could have been far worse than what it was.
I agree. Like, they didn't try to just pixelate the Simpsons theme. It was more just like the melody of it hidden within like a video game upbeat soundtrack, which was nice. Like, I appreciate trying to incorporate it very subtly rather than just like killing it by adding it in there fully and it just not translating. So like, the music didn't bother me. The graphics didn't bother me either. And like I said, the Simpsons vibe was there, but we've mentioned the difficulty, and it really makes the game so hard to play today, because we all use save states, correct? Can you use save states too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just without them, that it's like the score at the beginning to go on to new stages is so high. It was like they were forcing progression into this game that I think I might agree with Kenny that should be pretty open as far as like get to choose which minigame you do. And they forced progression by adding some like limit on what you had to hit before you move. And it makes the game very awkward to play.
Well, I don't know why I keep punishing myself, but I did not use save states this week.
Really?
And so it was the grind. And so, you know, you even talked about some of the mini games that I didn't get to, because in a week of gaming off and on, multiple hours spent, I got past the first two stages. I eventually did that. That took the majority of my game time this week. And then I got to play the next set a few times, but never mastered those because I didn't have save state. Now, if you can save state after those first two, or if you could have a save or a password, then that changes this game. You could have that high ceiling, and then it would fix it in some ways.
It doesn't fundamentally fix it, though, because I was liberal with those uses because I knew I didn't want to face that frustration. And so, like, the beginning of each week, I would like throw a save state and then explore that week as much as I wanted. Some of them a little bit, some of them just tear through it and then move on to the next week to see new content. And though I didn't suffer as much as you did in repetition, even then, week to week, you're not getting completely new games. If you had, you know, this 7-week progression where instead of 7 mini games, there were, you know, 20 mini games, and you literally played a different mini game each time you played a mini game, I feel like this game might have been, and if there was a more natural, you know, easier to harder challenge progression, I feel like there could have been something kind of fun and addicting about it. But as it was, it just felt like you were repeating stuff, and it was sort of like, oh, I've done this. Like, what? Okay, just check this box again. No big deal.
With games like this that we always come back to, So The Lion King is obviously based off the movie, and it's an excellent game stylistically and just how it plays. And I think those two things are often split on these. Like, some of these games play well, but then like they don't look at all like the show or the movie. In this case, I think that stylistically they really nailed it for me. Like, I think it's a Simpsons game for sure. It's a Simpsons game, and it's on the Game Boy, so that was hard to do. They pulled it off. But it doesn't play, like, you can't play the game to me.
I even kind of get the thought on why they decided to do this sort of mini games version. Not only was the, you know, American Gladiators like a popular riff, but for the Game Boy, you kind of want something you can pick up and play. You kind of want something that's not deep and immersive like other stuff. It's a, you know, it's a handheld game. And so I don't mind the sort of episodic mini game driven thing. I just don't like the way they implemented it. And the week to week and the repetition was just, it was a little much for me.
Final thoughts.
Which brings us to the end of our episode where we determine whether or not we're going to give this game our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our simple thumbs up or thumbs down. Do we say find a copy of this game and play it, or reserve your retro gaming time for another retro video game? And it requires 2/3 of our votes to swing one way or the other. I'll begin by saying this is not the worst game we played. I found some enjoyment in it this week. I think some of the qualities that we talked about, music wasn't bad, graphics wasn't bad. It's a Game Boy game. We've got to keep that in our minds.
Sure. Absolutely. Some of these, that's huge.
Yeah, huge. Some of these mini games were interesting. I think all my opinion can boil down to that one game, the hop, skip, and fry, which is the basketball one, because as frustrating as it was, I enjoyed the game and thought the game itself had merit. So what I'll say about that was about the mini game. What I'll say about the game as a whole is that Bart versus the Juggernauts, as ridiculous of an idea as it is, it's not the worst game that we've played, but it is by far the most frustrating game that we've played. I think there are some elements within the game that have merit, but I think that the decisions that they made that makes the game so difficult makes it nearly unplayable for the modern gamer. And so I do not give this game my vote for New Game Plus status.
I'll hop in. The Simpsons gets a pass from me for making video games based on their show. It's, again, that's something that frustrates me a lot with video games. Like often, like Doug, for instance, we played that. It's a Game Boy game and it was a disaster. You forgot about that one, didn't you?
That game.
And shows that do this and movies that do this, it's usually something that I'm not on board with. But The Simpsons for me always gets a pass, because they went on to make some pretty great games. Simpsons Hit and Run is the one I was talking about last week, which is that Crazy Taxi version of The Simpsons, which is brilliant. It's so fun. And they do a great job of portraying the show in the game. So they'll get a pass for me on that. And I'm actually a huge fan of anthology games. WarioWare Inc. is a Wario game that does this. It's a bunch of mini games throughout the game, but it's so fun and they pace it well. And it's not like this progression is impossible because of the score. So I just think they were super ambitious in this game, but they couldn't pull it off and make it playable. So no New Game Plus for me.
Yeah. I won't beat the horse, however alive or dead it is, but I'll agree. No New Game Plus. I think overall it was just kind of a meh game. You can do the rotating minigame thing and have it be fun, but your games have to be excellent and highly, highly replayably addictive, which can be very easy to do when you're doing that minigame approach, but it can also just be sort of okay. And I felt like the gameplay portions of this were sort of okay, coupled with too repetitive. I agree, some of the visuals and the broader tie-in that they did a pretty good job with, but still nothing that like blew my mind, partly because it's a Game Boy title and those are just going to have a harder time progressing and being relevant today. And so overall, I didn't like hate it, but I certainly didn't love it and just sort of went, eh. So no New Game Plus.
The Simpsons Bart versus the Juggernauts does not receive our New Game Plus certification. So find a different game and play it. What were your thoughts about the game? Did you get to play it with us this week? Some of our viewers did write in and let us know their opinion.
Nice.
Jess wrote in. She said, I was so excited that a lot of my commitments had wrapped up for the holiday season because that means I can play along more than usual the next few weeks.
Hooray.
So we got Bart versus the Juggernauts. I put in a good effort this week, but never got past the first two mini games. Week one. At least everything looks pretty Simpsons-y, even though it's monochrome, and the tone is about right, but the game is just too hard, and every time I had to sit through the credits after the title screen and Dr. Monroe and Kent Brockman's opening speech to get back in, I felt like I was being punished. Someday we will play a good Simpsons game, but I guess this week wasn't the week for it. No NGP status for me on this one. Dustin's first play video summed up my whole gaming week this week. Keep it up and see you around in Discord with all of our new friends.
Just kind of Nailed it. That's exactly where we landed. I don't know if someone writing in has ever been more prophetic.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I think it helps that we had some of these discussions in Discord week. As Jess mentioned, we have a Discord channel. Nolan will talk about it in just a moment. And we had some new friends join us this week. So welcome to all of you, especially, I don't know if you two guys know, but two guys from Texas joined us this week and a few other people. So, I think everything that she said is something that you may have not had to deal with, guys, because you were using safe states, is that every time you would lose in those two first mini games, you'd have to restart at the beginning, and it goes through the entire credits of the game as well as the opening lines and dialogue. So it's not like a quick re-entry. Yikes. It's you have to wait a minute to get back in. Frustrating.
Yeah, that's worst.
Thank you for your email. We had another from Antonin. The subtitle of the email is Bart versus Suckernauts.
I
have a feeling eloquent. He liked this game.
He said, I've got a question for you. What's the worst game you have ever played? Was it Jurassic Park 2? Was it Atlantis? Or was it this game? During my first 40 to 45 minutes of this game, I tried to figure out the first week of this game. That was it. The first week made out of two really bad minigames. But instead of talking about the bad things, hint, pretty much everything, I'll focus on the good. Number one, the music is pretty decent. Number two, the insults hurled at you by Dr. Monroe are pretty funny. However, hurtful as well. P.S. I hope we get a better game next week. P.P.S. Eat my shorts. So?
Nice.
Antonin's thoughts?
Yeah, a little angrier, a little more, I don't know, not okay with this game than we were overall. But I could see that reaction. I think saying it's one of the worst games we've played when we played some games that really just feel like they had a complete lack of care or truly difficult gameplay or designs or things that just bugged me a lot more, this one would never make that list for me. But I don't mind if someone puts it on their personal hate at the most list.
Kenny has a different list for like Mega Man 3 and Sylvester and Tweety and Cagey Capers, which is like a bad category for me.
I was relating them to... I don't have to defend myself. Listen to the episode.
His Bart reference there leads me to believe that he's at least a moderate fan of the show. I wonder what true Simpson fans think of this game and maybe of the other Simpsons games.
It's got to be some of the same stuff. I would imagine that they enjoy the humor and appreciate that they enjoy some of the style and the art and even maybe the music, but just the difficulty. I just think that it's too high.
Yeah.
Well, we are putting Bart versus the Juggernauts to rest. Thank you for playing along with us this week. As always, you can send in your thoughts and commentary over the game of the week to us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our episode next week as we play the game that we are about to randomly select now. We have a retro master list in which some of you have suggested games to go to this master list. It just has to be 15 years old or older. It can be on any system, any genre, any game. And we have a large and growing list that we are about to stick through our randomizer now to find out what game we are going to be playing for the next 7 days. Fingers crossed. Hopefully, it's better than this one. We are going to be playing a third-person role-playing video game that was released in 2001 for PC. It's a science fiction story influenced by cyberpunk, film noir, and it's got some unconventional humor. It explores a 3D environment, a futuristic city, space vessels, and outdoor areas, inspired by older games like Chrono Trigger and the Final Fantasy series. I don't know if that means anything, but the game that we are going to be playing for the next 7 days is a game called Anachronox. Anachronox?
Anachronox.
I have no idea.
Anachronox.
Sounds right.
Probably better than Anachronox.
I thought you were leading up to like a really obvious answer. Like I thought it was going to be like, I don't know.
Here's what happened to me. It sounded like we were going the Myst route, in my opinion.
You went all over.
And then it went like Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger.
And then Star Wars somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was like, KOTAR. I'm a little confused as to what, with all the words that you just described it with, I have no idea what we're getting into.
Listen.
Part of me is really scared. Part of me is really excited.
This is what it says. It was inspired by Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy, and the novel Ender's Game.
You can't just throw random stuff that you like in there.
Whoever was describing this game just like read our favorite things ever.
Right.
And then decided to put them into to bait us into playing this game. Now this, I'm scared. It's too good to be true. It can't
this
be
is
that
what
good.
I have a feeling that this game is going to be terrible and we're going to never mention Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy and Ender's Game anywhere in the realm
the same of
reference.
Each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that they say that makes me think that they were just trying to like really try to get people to pay attention to me. Hey, look at these games.
What are
these
popular
are good games.
Things? Let's pretend like we're like them. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're all going to be absolutely blown away this week. But talk about setting the bar really, really, really high.
Yeah. I know it's available on Steam. You can find it maybe on GOG and some other platforms as well. But but it's definitely going to be on PC. Play along with us this week.
Anacondas.
My Anachronox don't want none. Okay.
Unless you got thumbs. Son.
Okay.
We stopped.
Dustin mentioned it, but guys, our Discord was popping this week. There were a lot of new faces, and we can't wait to connect with all of you and talk about Anacondas and whatever this game is. We'll discuss it and figure it out ourselves. But you can find an invite link to that Discord that is popping on our Twitter, and it's free, so do it or else, and we'll talk to you in Discord.
Yeah, our community is certainly growing, and we love it, and it couldn't continue to grow and thrive and be as wonderful as it is without those of you that support us on Patreon. So every one of you that gives a little bit of your hard-earned money to help us continue to make a product that we hope is entertaining. Thanks especially to our producers, Bradley, Zion, Gimbarino, and a big shout out as well to Tom for editing and producing in a tangible way this episode. You guys really are all the best.
We also want to thank our newest patrons. We've got Ben Lowry and Blue Donio.
Welcome.
Sweet. Woo. Welcome to the wagon.
Wow. Did we just say family?
I'm sorry.
I ran out of words, and so I had to just fill one in. I don't have a thesaurus like you, Dustin.
Guys, we really appreciate you jumping on the wagon this week and supporting us. Hopefully you are going to be able to get some bonus content here in the coming days. And you've now got access to all of our archived bonus content as well. We appreciate you for your support and all of you as you support us. Make sure that you follow us, find us, and follow us on social media. That's Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us on YouTube and get our weekly, relatively unedited video episode of what you're listening to currently. You can watch our YouTube Let's Plays of Dark Souls and Ocarina of Time by Nolan and myself that comes out every Friday and Tuesday. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so you are the first to get new NGP episodes, in which Kenny has already said prematurely. They are edited and produced by Tom Tate.
A double shout-out's never a bad thing.
Join us next week as we play Anacondas. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I also don't know how to pronounce the game.
Jiggernauts.
And this has been New Game Plus.